We'll turn now to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. We have spent a number of weeks in this chapter as we've been studying through the book, and we will complete our study of this chapter this morning. I'd like to read the entire chapter as we begin to look at what God would have to say to us this morning. Revelation chapter 12, reading the entire chapter. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." The word of the Lord. The book of Revelation is not just a book about the future and about what will happen. It's a book about what's going on right now. It's a book that speaks to us where we live today in life. The theme of the book can be summarized with that motto that is used by the Moravian Church here in America. Our Lamb has conquered, let us follow Him. The whole book is about the Lamb that has conquered, the victory of the Lamb, the victory of Jesus Christ. He has already overcome and conquered our worst enemies, the devil, sin, death. He has already ascended into heaven, victorious. And it's for that reason that we can bravely follow Him, come what may. Revelation chapter 12 now is a vision that gives us a sweeping picture of all human history. We've read the entire chapter, seeing that it begins with a woman, a pregnant woman, who represents the covenant people of God waiting to give birth to the promised child, to the Messiah. There's a dragon who represents the devil, and the devil is there waiting to destroy the child. The child is Jesus Christ, born as child of Mary, but born coming into the world to be that Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. But the dragon fails to stop the child from coming, and so what he does is turn his hatred against us, against the woman, and begins to pursue the woman out into the wilderness, the covenant people of God. That's you and me being persecuted, being chased now by the dragon into the wilderness. This story is so important that God wants to tell the story again. And so that's what happens beginning at verse 7. Now the same story is going to be told, but from a different angle. This time the scenery changes from being here on earth to a heavenly scene where there's a war taking place. There's a dragon warring against God. Michael and his angels war against the dragon. But it becomes evident that what happens on the earth with the child, what the child does in human history, has an effect on the dragon. And so the dragon is thrown out of heaven. The devil is defeated. The decisive blow has been dealt against the devil. Our Lamb has conquered so that we can follow Him. And follow Him we must. The end of verse 12. Woe to the earth and the sea. And then what we're going to see is in chapter 13 that there's a beast that comes out of the sea and a beast that comes out of the earth. Another expansion of this same story. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. The devil has been thrown out of heaven and to the earth, but that's where we are. I mean, that's where we live. And so this warning comes, woe to the earth and to the sea. He knows that he is defeated. He knows that his time is short. And so he's filled with rage and he comes after us. But what we see in this chapter and what we've looked at the last couple of weeks is that we can resist him. We can overcome. We overcome because of what the child has done in human history, because of the blood of the Lamb. And we overcome because we know what God has told us. We know the truth. We overcome because of the word of our testimony. And so as we go through life, we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lamb of God who came to take away our sin. And as we go through life, we talk to ourselves every step of the way. We keep telling ourselves the same thing that God has told us. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, I know that I am right with God. I am no longer a slave to sin. I belong to God. I am His child. I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit is here with me. And I have spiritual authority. I am guaranteed that I am going to win. I'm going to overcome. And so those are the kind of things that we're to be saying to ourselves as we walk through life following the Lamb. So in our study of the book of Revelation chapter 12, we've looked at the woman, the dragon, the child, the war, the blood, the word. This morning, the wilderness. And that's where we are. You're not just in our study of Revelation, but where we are in life. The wilderness. Verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. The life that you and I have to live is a life that's going to be lived out in the wilderness. 1,260 days, it's 3.5 years. Over in verse 14, it's going to be the same period of time will be referred to as a time and times and half a time. It's the same period of time. The whole period of history from the ascension of Jesus Christ to the return of Jesus Christ. That's where that's the book ends to the book of Revelation. It begins with that vision of the ascended Christ in chapter 1, and then we come to the end of the book, we find Christ returning and making everything right. So this is the whole period of human history. We live in the wilderness. Now, think back to Israel, what you know of the Old Testament. What was Israel's experience during those 40 years journeying through her wilderness? What was life like? While she was no longer a slave in Egypt, the Red Sea was behind her. She had been set free, but she wasn't home yet. She was in transition. Life is going to be a journey. No place to call home. Nothing tangible to hold on to. You didn't know where you were going. You didn't know what was going to become of your children, the generation to come. There's no food. There's no water. Pursued and harassed by the unfriendly nations. Tempted to worship false gods, idolatry, because of the inhabitants of the land that they, as they journeyed through the wilderness. If it wasn't a spirit of fear that gnawed away at their insides, it was the spirit of discontentment. Impatience, whining, grumbling, complaining. Always wanting something more, something different. They faced very much what Jesus faced during his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Remember, the devil comes to Jesus during that period of time. You know, who's going to protect you? You know, why don't you throw yourself down? Who's going to protect you? You know, who will carry you? Who's going to provide bread for you out here? Who are you going to worship? Why don't you fall down and worship me? It's very much the same temptations and struggles that Jesus had during his wilderness time. And this is where we find ourselves today in the wilderness. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she would be nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. The first thing that we see here is that as followers of the Lamb, we are being pursued. Just as the Egyptians had pursued Israel through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness, just as Herod had pursued Mary and the Christ child out into the wilderness. We find ourselves in a very similar situation, living in this world, being pursued in the wilderness, pursued by the dragon. And his wrath comes against us in so many ways. It can come from the fallen culture in which we live. It's just the world, the stuff that's going around you every day of life. Ridicule from our neighbors or through the media, movies, literature, popular music, political policies, atheistic college professors. In some countries, it leads to imprisonment and to death. But it's the culture that the dragon uses to pursue and to persecute God's people. His wrath may come in the form of temptation. The world trying to squeeze you into its mold. The narcotic of materialism. The lust for power, the culture of violence, that thrill that people get for being able to push other people around and make them do what they want done. The obsession that our culture has with sex, sensuality, the temptations to fear, and the economic news. I mean, that's like a drug, you know, just this, the whole fear thing. What is it that draws people to keep going back and turning on CNN and Fox News Network? You know, they just seem to love to hear how bad things are. But they're addicted to the fear, job situations, job security, the economy. The dragon's wrath often comes in the form of deceptions and accusations. Remember who he is. Go back to verse 9. The great dragon was thrown down. Who? The serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. I mean, that's what he does. He deceives people. Verse 10, he's the accuser of the brethren. God no longer listens to his accusations, but we're listening to him. Verse 15, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. Lies and deceptions that just pour forth from the dragon's mouth to sweep you away in the flood. Sometimes it's just a raging flood. It comes with a roar. But at other times, the water just kind of quietly rises. But the effect is the same. To drown you in the deceptions and the lies. And this is one reason why the dragon here is referred to as the serpent. And as we go through this, he's no longer being called the dragon, but now it's the serpent. That's to get you to think back. Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, lying, deceiving Eve in the garden. The devil's main tactic against you today is simply to get you to doubt God's word and God's goodness. This is his main tactic, this deception and this lying. His greatest assault against you is not going to be physical. It's not pain. It's not sickness. It's not disease. It's not economic collapse. His greatest tactic, his assault against you is going to be spiritual. To get you to exchange the truth of God for a lie. To get you to call into question whether God's word is actually true. To doubt that he's a good God. That's his main tactic. And then his wrath can come against all of us at once or just against individual Christians. Sometimes it's entire churches that are attacked. sometimes the church in whole countries, everybody, every believer there, but sometimes it's just an individual believer here or there, man or woman or young person who believes in Christ. It may be a very focused attack. This seems to be the meaning of verse 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandment of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. You know, he can take out his anger on the woman, that is the church, the covenant people of God, or her children, that is just individual believers here or there. The second thing that we see here is that as we are being pursued, we're also being protected. We're moving over into the good news part. God has prepared a place for us where we will be protected. Verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God. The only safe place to be is in Christ. His name is like a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We have God's seal upon us. Baptized. We are the mark of God's possession. In Christ, and then we are in the church. Christ is the head of the church, and his body is the church. This is the safe place to be in the church, to be in Christ, and to be in church. You may be away from your home church this morning, but wherever you go, you find believers. When you're traveling around, you find other Christians, you find a church to attend. There's a safe place that is provided in the wilderness. Go back and read Revelation 7. That's what that chapter was about. We'll see it again, chapter 14, verse 1. I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, that's you, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads, the church. A place prepared in the wilderness where you are protected. You are in Christ and you have the name of Christ written on your head. And then we see God's protection in that he promises to carry us. Verse 14. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place. It's an obvious allusion to what God said at Mount Sinai in the wilderness when God spoke to his people Israel. Exodus 19, verse 4. God said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. The two wings represent God's promises of grace, enabling grace, sustaining grace. God promises to carry his people through the wilderness. Now, it's not a promise that nothing bad is going to happen to you. It's a promise that nothing bad can separate you from his love or his friendship or his presence or keep you from your eternal home. Isaiah 46, verse 4, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you." It's God's promise of enabling and sustaining grace. And then another way in which we're protected, verse 16. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. It's not the world, it's the earth. The revelation is very specific that it's the earth. It's not the world. It's not that the world is believing the lies that come from the dragon, but it's the earth that somehow drinks up the lies and thereby helps the church. It's creation itself. It's the created order of things. The earth. William Barclay, in his commentary on Revelation, says, "Nature itself is on the side of the man who is faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ." Nature itself, the creation itself, is on our side and helps us in protecting us from the dragon. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. Creation, nature, is saying something to counteract the lies of the dragon. You know, the dragon deceives, and the dragon comes and says, "Look around. You know, I mean, look at this beautiful weather that we're having here in Charleston, South Carolina. All of this happened by chance." That's the dragon, right? I mean, that's the philosophical view there. It's just a random chance. It just happened. Survival of the species. It just happened. But you look at nature and you can hear what nature says. It's on our side. You know, the hand that made me is divine. The dragon comes and says, "You know, we can redefine what marriage is." And nature says, "That doesn't make sense, you know. It's a man and a woman who perfectly fit." That's nature's teaching. Nature teaches you marriage is only between a man and a woman. And so the earth itself helps us by drinking up the lies of the dragon. It's just one of the many ways in which God has provided for His church. And then finally, the third thing that we see here is that as followers of the Lamb, we are not only being protected, but we are being provided for. The dragon is angry. He's red hot, enraged against the church. He's not been able to stop Christ from coming into the world and dying for sinners and saving them. And so the dragon goes after the church, after the people of God. Every day he pursues us. But in the midst of all of that, God provides exactly what we need for our journey throughout the wilderness. I mean, just as Israel had all she needed for those 40 years in the wilderness, daily furnished with manna, it was delivered to their door. Manna, water, meat, the cloud by day, the fire by night to guide them, the presence of God in the tabernacle. The verse that we started with, it's printed on the front of your bulletin from Deuteronomy. This is Moses, book of Deuteronomy. They're at the promised land ready to go in, and Moses is looking back over their whole experience of being in the wilderness, and this is what he says to Israel. "The Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing." And the same is true for us in our journey, this wilderness time. Think of what God has provided for us. I mean, there's a mark. It's placed on your heads. There's a mark that's placed on your children. The mark of baptism. We have His name written on our foreheads. We've got a map to show us where we're going. That's why we devote a good portion of our worship services to reading and studying His Word. We've got food and drink to nourish us along the way. The bread, the wine, to remind us of the blood of the Lamb, the body of Christ. We can ask for directions. We pray. God, would you help us? Would you show us what to do in this situation? We're not out here by ourselves. God has prepared a place for us, the church. Fellowship with other believers, that encouragement that we're not just going through the wilderness by ourselves, but we've got one another. The very presence of God in the praises of His people. God inhabits the praises of His people. Just as God made Himself known at the tabernacle, God makes Himself known to us when we sing His praises. And one reason why God wants us to come each week and to engage in public worship in His house every Sunday morning is that we would be reminded that we do not lack a single good thing. We need this reminder every week, no matter how rough the week has been. God has provided exactly what He sees that we need. Doesn't always answer every prayer that we make. We sometimes ask for silver, and God has gold that He wants to give instead. We are in the wilderness. It's a bleak and dangerous place to be. And there's somebody that hates us and pursuing us. But God gives us everything that we need. Protection, provisions, what He calls upon us to do is to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, to look and to fix our eyes upon the Lamb who has conquered, and to follow Him. Let's pray.